Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So last week, as we started our new series, we did a little game, and we had some people run up to show who could get here the fastest with, like, the manliest credit card and the manliest tattoo, and we're going to do one more round today. I'm looking for a guy who thinks he's got a manly scar or scars. Oh, right here. Okay, come on up. We got one. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to see, can I help you up, sir? We're going to see who's got manlier scar, you or me. So you're going to stand on that side. You fooled me. We're not running at each other or anything. You can come in here. So I'll go first. Ready? So I've got three scars. I have one right here. It's kind of like it's faded a little bit, but it's from when I went like head over handlebars on my bike when I was a kid. A little manly. I've got a scar up here on my head. I got like 12 or 14 stitches when I was in a car accident, I think 20 years old. And then I've got a scar in my eyelid, which is from a JV basketball game. So it was during sports, kind of manly. The not so manly, not so cool thing about it is that a guy on the other team cut me with his fingernail, which is not cool or manly at all to get cut with a fingernail. But so what do you got? Can you beat that?
I've got two scars of note.
Two scars.
One is on my thigh. I don't know if I can find any more, but...
That's not that manly. You can't even find it.
It was actually cut open by a can of soup, you know, out the middle. I was taking out the trash.
Okay.
It went right through.
I think I'm winning. We're going to let you all decide, but right now I feel like I'm winning.
The other one was, I had a roommate, we were kids, we were like teenagers, a good friend of mine, a little mentally unstable. His family pretty much like abandoned him. My mom took him in. He was living with us. We were doing the dishes together.
That's not manly.
Yeah, I know. It starts off manly.
Okay.
It starts off not manly.
Okay.
So then we're doing dishes. He grabs the butcher knife, and he's like, let's knife fight, and he starts swinging at
it. This is getting manly.
Yeah. And so I'm like, holy crap, dude. And so like, I grab a knife and start trying to defend myself, and I fend him back. And he gets mad, and so he goes like, you know, Justin, or what is it, Seagal style with the knife and starts trying to stab at me. And eventually...
Did you say Justin Seagal? Because that takes away manliness. He just lost points. He lost manly points.
That's a beef
okay.
movie. Anyway, so
Steven Seagal's
cut. He does a stab at me, and the knife stabs me in my arm.
So he stabbed you in your arm. Can I see it?
However, it's only this big
okay.
because the butcher knife point actually stabbed and struck my bone.
Oh.
It basically stopped me from losing my hand.
Okay. All right, so you get to choose. Ready? So I've got the bike accident, I've got the car accident, I've got the fingernail in the basketball game in the eyelid. He's got a can, somehow a can cut his leg, and Jason Seagal style, his unstable friend stabbed him with a butcher knife while they were washing dishes. So who would say more manly of scars by applause? Wow. Really? Who would say more manly or scars? All right, here's your prize. You got a gift card to Starbucks. That's manly. Really, you guys just completely, like, abandoned me. Wow, I'm supposed to be up here for another, like, 30, 35 minutes. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay. Huh. Okay, I see. All right. All right. Well, last week we started this new series called The Warrior, and what we're talking about is actually it's a series, and this is a little bit weird, but it's aimed at one gender. It's aimed at guys, okay? And that's a little odd. Someday we'll do a series aimed at ladies, but right now we're doing a series aimed at guys. And what we said last week, what I said was that God gave every man the heart of a warrior. Okay, you were designed with a heart to go and fight and do battles. I said last week that you were given this heart to fight and defend what is good and right and noble and beautiful, to fight for the kingdom of love of God, to fight for your families, to fight for the defenseless and the oppressed. I also said a lot last week, But if you weren't here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you're here, we know, right? We're in on that. So here's the deal. I totally believe what I said last week, but reality does not reflect my belief. It doesn't. Because I said every man has the heart of a warrior, and a battle to fight for. But the reality is that very, very few men are fighting battles of any consequence at all. And last week we talked about a few of the reasons why. We noticed last week that some guys just haven't found the right battles to fight, and so what they're fighting is unimportant battles. Or maybe they're actually being kind of destructive with this warrior spirit because they haven't found the right battles to fight. We said that for other guys, that the reason they're not engaging in the right battles is because of fear. And so maybe they know what they need to do, but they're afraid of engaging. They're afraid they'll fail, and so they don't engage at all. Well, this week, I want to give you another reason so many men don't fight the battles that God intends for them to, and it's that they are wounded. They're warriors, but they're wounded warriors. In a real war, if you get wounded, then it doesn't matter how committed you are to the cause, it doesn't matter how passionately you want to fight, you can't fight at all, or if you do, you're going to fight not at full strength. Right? And I think this message today will apply to everyone. You know, it might just need to change a word or two, and it will totally apply to you. But I really want to focus today on one particular wound, because I think it's one of the most prevalent and most painful. I want to focus on the father wound, the way a father can wound his son, the wound between a father and his son. And I know that this is also true for ladies, okay? And I think that this will also apply to the ladies. Hey, ladies. Sorry. But you'll get a lot out of this too. But I'm kind of aiming this at guys and the wound that we get from our father. It's amazing to me how many guys feel wounded by their fathers. For some, it's not that their dad did anything drastically wrong, but still, their fathers maybe were distant or uninvolved, seemed very uncaring, or they were just kind of mean or angry or maybe just weak. For others, their dads were far worse. Their dads were abusive, maybe physically or emotionally. Or maybe it's that their dads left. And so there was this absence in their life, and that's become a real wound. Now, if you had a great relationship with your father, man, that's awesome. And you need to thank God for that. And I would go to your dad if he's still alive and thank him for that, because that's pretty rare. But if you weren't blessed with that kind of relationship, then this is especially for you, because you are a warrior, okay? God has an amazing adventure for you to engage in with your life. He has incredible battles for you to fight and for you to win. But if you're a wounded warrior, you will not engage, or you will, but not at full strength. Now, perhaps some of you have this thought right now, and it's like, you know what? I've done this before. I've got issues with my dad, I know. But I've kind of gone over this before, and I've tried to forgive. I've tried to deal with those issues, and I just can't. I just can't get past them. And so maybe you've given up, but you can't. It's kind of like vacuuming. Have you ever like been vacuuming and you're going through your house and then there's like this one little piece of like fuzz or something and it doesn't come up, and so you kind of back up and you vacuum over it again and it doesn't come up, so you go over it again, it doesn't go up, and so what do? You pick it up, you look at it, and then anyone else? You throw it back down, right? And vacuum over it, which is really bizarre, right? It's like, just throw it out, you picked it up, right? But we don't, we throw it back down. No, but still won't come up, right? Some of us have done that with our issues with our dads. Like, I've gone over this, and I just can't get it to come up. Like it's just, I've given up on that. But you can't. You can't, because you don't want to go through life a wounded warrior and all the negative impact that's going to have on your life and the lives of others. And so you need to try again. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go to God for healing. And we're going to talk about a process that we need to go through. I think everyone needs to go through a three-step kind of process that God will take us through and bring healing to our wounds. Okay? Here's the first step. The first step is that you have to acknowledge your wound. You must acknowledge your wound. And most of us don't want to do this, especially guys, right? We'd rather just pretend it's not there. If you want to see an example of a guy who is wounded, and was willing to acknowledge it, you need to check out a guy in the Old Testament of the Bible named David. And David was a guy who, if you want to see a totally messed up relationship between a father and a son, check out David's story and his son Absalom. I mean, it's a mess. But I love what David writes in something called Psalm 109, verses 22 and 26, which if you don't have a Bible, totally fine. We're going to put the verses on the screen for you to read. And if you don't own one, we give them out for free. No cost, no catch. You can just grab a Bible. There's a Bible reading plan if you want it back at the Velcro Bar. So David writes this. This is at a point where he's going through a lot of pain. And he writes in verse 22, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." And then in verse 26, he says, "Help me, O Lord, my God." He's saying, my heart is wounded within me. And some of us need to acknowledge the wounds that are in our hearts today. But man, we don't want to do that, right? We feel like, guys will feel like that's just weak, you know? Because we've been told our whole lives, take it like a man. Just suck it up. You know, big boys don't cry. And if you watch a movie, like a Braveheart kind of movie, and there's some guy in a battle and whoop, he gets an arrow in his chest, what does he do? Breaks it off, throws it, and just keeps on fighting, right? He doesn't even acknowledge it. And we're taught this lesson to minimize our pain, to just ignore it and pretend it didn't happen, right? If you ever have a guy, like you're a group of guys, and a guy gets hurt, all the guys will be kind of like, "You okay?" And the guy will always say, "Yeah, I'm fine." Right? I mean, he could have blood spurting out of his arm. He could have like an eyeball out of its socket. His leg could be dangling like that, broken in half. And he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Right? You have to. The only time a guy is permitted to show any pain is when he gets hit where it counts. Right? And then all the other guys just take a moment of reverence and just sit in silence and kind of like, okay, we're going to allow this. You can feel and experience that pain, right? And you get to live in that for a minute, and then you got to move on, right? But here's the deal. Guys, what really counts, the place it counts, is your heart, right? That's the place that counts. And some of us have been hit where it counts, and we need to acknowledge that, okay? I don't know what yours is. It could be that your dad died young, when you were young, and that wasn't his fault, but still, that's a wound for you. It may be that you grew up with a stepdad or with a confusing situation with multiple authority figures. It might be that your dad left when you were young, and you just always felt abandoned, unwanted. It might be that your dad was distant or emotionally uninvolved. It could be that your dad was overzealous. Maybe he was kind of a religious legalist who ran his home with an iron fist. Maybe your dad was abusive to you physically or emotionally, verbally, or maybe you watched your dad abuse someone else. And maybe it's time to acknowledge your wound, to stop being macho about it, to get through all the protective layers and get down to deep in your heart where if you are honest, there's this little boy who's asking questions like, "Dad, why didn't you love me? Why weren't you there for me? Why didn't you care about me?" It's time to acknowledge the wound. I've talked about this before, and so I'm kind of hesitant to talk about my father again, just because I don't want to bore people who have been here and are like, "Yeah, we know." But just briefly, my father was very emotionally abusive. To kind of everyone. He was just belittle people, but especially to me. He made me, it seemed like his favorite thing to do was to make me feel stupid and less than and not good enough. And he was occasionally physically abusive. And then when I was 10 or 11 years old, he walked out. And after that, I saw him very rarely. And he really wounded me. And guys, God has given you a warrior heart. God has a calling on your life to do something great and amazing and adventurous, but you are never going to fully engage in that if you do it all, if you've got a wound in your heart that you will not acknowledge. That's the first step. The second step is that you must forgive through Christ. And I know what you're thinking. That's not fair because he does not deserve forgiveness. And you're exactly right. He does not deserve forgiveness. He doesn't. But remember, you don't deserve forgiveness from God. You have wounded the heart of God repeatedly, and so have I. We don't deserve forgiveness from God, But God offered it to us anyway. God went way beyond what's fair when, to be able to offer us forgiveness, he gave his son Jesus, who went to a cross for us. Right? The truth is, we have no shot of having a relationship with God or getting to heaven if fair is what we go by. But God decided not to be fair, and he gave us grace. And we need to offer that same kind of forgiveness, that unfair kind of forgiveness to everyone, and maybe perhaps especially our fathers. So check out what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And so we forgive in the same way that, and because we've been forgiven. Back in February, we did a series called Drop the F-Bomb, and it was all about forgiveness. And if you missed it, you can go back and you can listen to it on our website or on iTunes. And I told some of my story in that series, so I won't go into it much, but I became a Christian in 1990, and I started reading Bible verses like that, forgive as you've been forgiven. And I realized I need to forgive people, and I need to forgive my dad. And I made a few feeble attempts to do so, but mostly what I did in those early years was I kind of justified ignoring those verses. I just felt like, you know, it's different for me, and that doesn't matter to me. But things kept coming up that made me kind of readdress it. So, like, one time early in our marriage, my wife and I went to a marriage conference, and one of the speakers talked about the way his father had wounded him. And he talked about this one time when he was sitting in the car with his father, and they kind of talked through his childhood and the pain that he had brought him, and then he forgave his father right there in the front seat of that car. And I listened to that speaker, and I tried to imagine it. Like, I tried to picture sitting with my dad in a car and talking about all he had done and forgiving him. And then in the summer of 1998, I had just started a church in Virginia a few months ago, and I was going to be speaking on forgiveness and how the Bible says we need to forgive and the importance of forgiveness. And all week I felt like such a hypocrite. I thought, I can't walk up on that stage and tell people to do something that I'm not doing. And so I decided I'm going to do it. And I called my father to forgive him. And when I called him, I found out that he had moved without telling me, and I had no idea where he was or how to get a hold of him. I talked to him back in April, so maybe 3 or 4 months earlier, and it turned out that last time I talked to him ended up being the last time I ever talked to him before he died in the year 2000. And about 5 years later, about 2003 or so, I had two friends of mine who encouraged me to go to a support group that they had gone through. It's kind of like a 27-week support group kind of program. And they told me I need to go through it because it would help me to truly forgive my father. The weird thing was, it was a support group for people with sexual addictions and issues. And I have lots of issues. I just don't happen to have any of those issues. I'm like, I got lots of issues. That may be the only support group I personally don't have to go to. And they were like, well, yeah, but the focus of this group is forgiving your father. What you'll learn how to do is to forgive your father. And so I was like, okay. And so I went. It was a 27-week, 3 hours a week, every Monday night. There was all kinds of reading, all kinds of homework assignments you had to do. I mean, it was a big commitment. But I had a big wound, and I did not want to live my life as an unforgiving, bitter person. And I had just reached a point where I was willing to do whatever it took to offer forgiveness to my father, so that I could live out the life that God wanted me to live. And eventually, it was not easy, but eventually I reached a point where I truly forgave my dad. I wish I did while he was still alive. I wish I could have told him to his face, but at least I did it. And I wonder if maybe today God has you here for just this reason. I wonder if the reason you're here today is because God wants you to forgive your dad. Maybe it's not your dad. Maybe it's someone else. God wants you to finally offer forgiveness. Maybe right now you kind of feel God kind of whispering in your ear, into your heart, it's time for you to forgive. Whoever it is, whatever it's for, right? That verse we looked at in Colossians said, forgive whatever grievance you have against anyone. Forgive as God forgave you. So the first step is to acknowledge the wound. The second step is to forgive through Christ, because, man, I just don't know if it's possible without getting God's help. And then third, you must accept your Father through Christ. And you say, accept? You just told me to forgive. Is there really any difference? But there is, isn't there? Yeah, there is. So I remember in my first kind of fledgling attempts to forgive my father, I would have these moments where I'd read a verse like that verse in Colossians, and I'd be like, okay, I need to do this. And I would go, okay, I forgive my dad. I just never want to see him again. Or I'd be like, okay, God, I forgive my father, but I hate his guts. And I don't know if there was any forgiveness there, but there certainly wasn't any acceptance. Because acceptance goes past forgiveness, right? By the way, just to be really clear, when I say acceptance, I'm not saying that you accept what he did. Okay? If what he did was wrong, you don't accept what he did. The Bible would call what he did evil. Okay? You call it evil. It was wrong. You don't accept what he did, but you can still accept him. You can still accept him. So check out what the Bible says in a book called Romans. In chapter 15, verse 7, we'll put it on the screen. Chapter 15, verse 7 of Romans says this. It says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. I think acceptance maybe involves looking at the bigger picture and humanizing the person. When I say looking at the bigger picture, I mean looking at the person as a whole rather than always having your microscope trained on the mistakes that he made, right? Yes, he made those mistakes, but you're going to look at this person as a whole. And humanizing the person means seeing them as a human being, a flawed human being to be sure, okay, but a human being, not a monster. It's real easy to look at people who have wounded you like they're monsters. Right? A couple thoughts that might help you with this. One, if your dad hurt you, or whoever, remember, it's probably true that your dad was wounded too. One time when I was in my late teens, I went and visited my father, and which one of the rare times I saw him, and he was yet again kind of berating me with belittling, harsh, mean-spirited words. And I got a little bit more courage. I don't know if it's because I was older or because I didn't have to live with the guy. But I, in the middle of it, I said, was your father like this too? And he kind of stopped and he was like what? And I said, was he a total jerk like you are? And I think it just kind of stunned him. And so he just stood there for a second. And finally he said, no, it was my mother. And kind of walked out of the room. And that did not necessarily excuse his behavior, right? But it did help me to replace a little of my bitterness with some compassion. I realized, yeah, he's wounded me, but he was wounded too. Another thing that might help you to kind of humanize the person is to try to love your father for who he is, not for who you wanted him to be. To love him for who he is, not for who you wanted him to be. If he was abusive, I'm not saying that you love what he did. Okay, I want to keep being clear about that. But in some cases, here's what I think happens. When we're little, like 4, 5, 6 years old, we get this picture in our mind of what a father should be like, what our father should be like, maybe from watching TV or from somebody else's dad. And so we like have this perfect picture of a perfect father, and then we have our father. And our father can never live up to this picture that we have. But here's the deal. Your whole life, you wanted your dad to be perfect, but no one is perfect. Maybe you wanted him to be like someone else's dad, but you didn't get someone else's dad. You got yours, right? And maybe you need to try to love him for who he was, not who you wanted him to be. And by the way, some of us parents, we need to do this with our kids. We need to love our kids for who they are, not for who we wanted them to be. You know, maybe you love sports and you dreamed of having this son who's going to be a sports star and love sports like you, and then you got this kid who doesn't like sports at all, and you just need to love your son for who he is, not for who you want him to be. So the third step is that we need to accept our fathers or whoever this is playing out for you through Christ. For me, the point where I realized that I had truly forgiven my father and even started moving into acceptance of him was when I had these surprising thoughts. Like one day I had the thought, you know what? I love my dad despite everything he did. And it was kind of like a Scooby-Doo moment. It was like, I can't believe that thought just hit my head. There was another time I had the thought, I kind of thought, I'm sure he won't be, but man, I kind of hope my dad's in heaven because it'd probably be good for me to spend some more time with him. And I was just like, wow. I never thought I would come to that point, but God brought me there. I could never get there on my own. I know that because I tried. But God brought me there. And I'll tell you what, when you get to that point with whoever it is, whoever hurt you, wounded you, whoever abused you, when you get to that point where you have forgiven them and started to accept them, you're free. You're free. It is so freeing. And so you need to acknowledge the wound, you need to forgive your father, and you need to accept your father through Christ. And I know that is a lot to ask for some of you. I realize like how daunting that may seem to some of you. But I'll tell you this, if you get God on your side, you can do this. You can't do this maybe, but you and God can do this. And selfishly, the person you're doing it for, understand this, is you. Right? You're not doing it for your father or whoever it is who hurt you. You're doing it for you, right? And if you haven't forgiven someone, you're the one who's suffering. Right, not them. You're the one who's staying awake at night thinking angry thoughts. They're not staying awake at night because you haven't forgiven them. You're the one in prison, not them. You're the one who's not free. And when you finally forgive and you accept them, you're going to become free. And you're going to find your wound healing. And you're going to be engaged in the battles that you need to fight. And you're going to end up securing victories that will last for all eternity. And here's something really cool. Probably the greatest and maybe most important thing that will happen if you go through this process is actually for your kids. And I know you're not all parents, but for those of us who are or will be, the most powerful impact it will have is on your kids. Because wounded people wound people. Right? Like just like with animals. You get a wounded animal and you go to touch it or help it. What does it do? You like that right there? It's like, that was scary, wasn't it? It attacks, right? You go to touch a wounded animal, it attacks. Why? Because wounded animals wound people. They wound whoever they can. And wounded parents tend to wound their kids. Last thing they would want to do, but they do it. God's got a plan for you and your kids, for the kind of relationship you'll have and the kind of impact that you'll have on their lives, and it is not to wound them. It is not to perpetuate problems and sins and hurts that have been maybe going generation by generation through your family, okay? I want to show you a passage in the Old Testament of the Bible in the book of Psalms that shows the intention that God has for you with your kids. It's Psalm 127. And it's verses 4 and 5. We'll put it on the screen. It says, it's maybe a little confusing because it's using like metaphorical language, but I'll make sure you get it. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so there's our warrior idea, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And so this is saying, guys, and women too, but sorry, I'm talking to guys. Guys, you're warriors, okay? And you're warriors who are sent out by God to do battles for what is good and beautiful and right and true and of God's kingdom of love, okay? And you have weapons. Last week we talked about the weapons we have to fight with, not our words, not our hands, things like faith and love, things like our understanding of who God is and who we are in him and prayer. And so we have weapons. But here's the deal. Probably the most powerful weapon you have, probably the biggest impact you will make in this world is you sending out your kids fully equipped and understanding who they are in Jesus, that they're loved, so that they can have a positive impact in the world, Okay? That's the idea. The idea is you're this warrior, and your kids are like arrows. And so as you're parenting them, you're pulling back on that bow, and then you send them out into the world. And they're sent out to love the world, to show the world God's love and bring the world to God through his love and to do good and to fight for those who are defenseless and oppressed. Okay? You send them out. But here's the problem. If you are a wounded warrior, and you will not have the strength to pull back on that bow and parent them as you should. You just won't. And this is why, if you are wounded, even if you don't want to go through this process, and if you don't, man, do I understand. But even if you don't, you need to go through it, if not for yourself, for your kids. For the kids you have or the kids you may someday have. I'm going to be really honest with you, and this is a little bit embarrassing. So, I became a Christian. I read these verses, need to forgive my dad. First time I ever had a thought of forgiving my dad, I just wanted to hate him my whole life. And so I realized, no, I need to forgive my dad. I also realized that even though growing up I hated him and swore I would never be like him, there were some things about me that were kind of like him. Like I just was an impatient person. I was too harsh often with people. I was very just kind of mean-spirited. Some of the things I hated most about him I saw in myself, and I hated it in myself. But I didn't really know how to deal with it, and I don't know, I just kind of justified tolerating it in myself. It was just kind of like, well, I don't know any better. I didn't have any different example. I honestly don't know how to be different. And so I just kind of tolerated it, and then I had my first child. And for year 1, 2, 3, I'm like, I'm being good to him. I don't have any problems. But as he kept getting older, I kept thinking, is it possible that I'm going to end up being my father to him? And I could not possibly imagine it. But I doubt that my father thought he would end up like his mother. I doubt he had any plan for that. And that led me to think, I will do whatever it takes. I will take drastic measures to get through this process and get to a place of forgiveness so I can have this wound in me healed. And that's when my friend said, you should go to this 27-week group that doesn't even apply to you, but it will help you. And I said, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. Guys, if maybe you have a wound, because of your wound, or maybe because it's the only example you have because it's the one your dad set for you, you have been wounding your kids. You've been putting them down, you've been belittling them, you've made them feel less than, or perhaps it's not so much that you're wounding them, maybe it's just that you're kind of indifferent towards them. Maybe because you weren't loved, you just don't really know how to love them, right? And so it's more just that you're emotionally unattached to them. It's time to change. If that's you, it's time to change. Because God has uniquely designed fathers to impart God's truth to their kids and God's love to their kids. Yes, moms do it too. Absolutely, moms do it. But there's a unique way that fathers can do that in their lives of their kids. I love the example God sets when his son Jesus is baptized. And we see this in the Bible where after he's baptized, God speaks out loud from heaven, like in a weird moment where everybody who's there hears it. And God says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, he says, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Like God was not embarrassed to say that in front of everybody, right? He just gives praise to his son. He says, oh man, that's my boy. And I am so happy with him. I am so proud of him right out loud for everyone to hear. And dads, you need to express love and you need to empower your children with affirmation. Okay? Sometimes in private, like, son, I want you to know you can do all things in Christ. Like even if people tell you can't, even if this world makes you feel like you can't, you can do anything in Jesus. You know what? God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Like when you have those moments where you feel like people are against you, the whole world's against you, it doesn't matter because God is for you. Just communicating love to your kids, even if your father or your parents never communicated love to you, even if it's awkward. I'll continue being honest. This is me. One of the most awkward things in my life is communicating love or encouragement to people. It feels like speaking another language to me. I hate that, but it's true. but you just have to do it anyway. You know, telling your kids things like, I love you so much, not for the things you do, but for who you are. But man, also, I love how you treat your mother. I love how you worship God. I love how you always try to do what's right. You know what? If I started talking right now and started telling you all the things I love about you, like in the rest of my life, I would not have enough time to tell you all the things I love about you. Just letting them know. One of the things I tell my kids all the time is, I say, if God lined up every boy in the world, unless I'm talking to my daughter, then I say, if God lined up every girl in the world and said, you can have whichever one you want, yet you can choose anyone, I would go up and down that line. I would look and look and look until I found you. And I would say, this is the one I want. I don't want anyone else. I just want this one. And that probably embarrasses my kids. And I make a point of bragging about my kids in front of other people to them or about them. And that probably embarrasses them. And I don't care. Because parents, dads need to express their love because it empowers their children. Right? And not only that, whether you like it or not, whether this is a good thing or not, it's just reality. And it's been proven in studies and research. Your kids are going to develop their idea of what God is like through you. And so you need to love your kids, and you need to express that and communicate that. And dads, if you're a dad, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Or is the wound in your heart so great, so deep, that instead of affirming your kids, you're wounding your kids? You are the wounded animal who attacks. There, I did it again. And listen, whether you're wounding your kids or whether you're just kind of emotionally distant from them, it's time to heal the wound. It's time to heal the wound. It's time to acknowledge the wound, to forgive your father with God's help in Christ, through Christ, and to accept your father. Not what he did, but to accept him. You know what's going to happen someday? Someday my wife is going to say to my son the words that just about every mother says to their son at some point. She's going to say, you know what? You're just like your dad. And here's the question I ask myself. When she says that, will it be a compliment or a put down? When your wife says that to your son, will it be a compliment or will that be a put down? And my prayer is that when my wife said that to my son will smile and say, really, Mom? Do you think so? And I know I'm not there yet, but man, that's where I want to be and that's where I'm going. Listen, we're going to give you a couple minutes right now and time just to think about what we've talked about today and how does it apply to your life. What step do you need to take? And maybe you need to adjust this a little bit because maybe you're not a guy, okay? Maybe it's not your dad. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your ex-spouse. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your former business partner. But who is it that God needs to take you through this process with? Whoever it is, you need to go through this process because we cannot live forever with these scars, right? We need to be healed. So during this time, we're going to have the band playing. We're going to have communion available. It's on the tables around the room, and communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that remind us that Jesus gave up his life for us on a cross so that God could forgive us. The Bible tells us that the only way God could forgive us and take our sins away is by Jesus dying on a cross for us. And that's what we remember in communion. But check this out. Jesus dying on a cross doesn't just have the power to take away our sins. It does more than that. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, speaking about Jesus and what he did on the cross. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. So it's saying we can be forgiven because he died for us. But check this out. And by his wounds, we are healed. And by his wounds, we are healed. When we really connect to the love sacrifice that Jesus made for us, his wounds have the power of bringing healing to our wounds. And if you, like me, are someone in need of healing, we're going to give you some time to ask God for just that. All right, first I want to pray for you guys. Let's pray. God, this is the kind of thing we've talked about several times this year, and my guess is for most of us, we need to talk about it several times. Because I think if we looked at the life we could be living, the life that you have for us, and then we look at where we're at, we realize there's a divide there. And I think probably for a lot of us, what's keeping us from fully living this abundant life you had for us is our past. It's something that was done to us. It's a bitterness we have. It's a burden we're walking through life with, and we need to let it go. And God, that is difficult. In fact, I've come to a place where I just think it's probably impossible for us. But with your help, through your love, through your forgiveness, through the love sacrifice you made for us, God, we can be empowered to do what we need to do. And so I pray that today would be a day where we get inspired to start moving in this direction, where we acknowledge how we've been wounded, where we forgive, where we offer forgiveness in the same way you've offered forgiveness unfairly to us, and where we start to accept the people who have hurt us, not what they did, but we accept them. And it all happens because of your love. God, we cry out. And we ask you to do that in our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.